This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Maddie, for reading the word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Hey, would you join me in thanking Kyle and Maddie for leading us in worship this morning? They do a great job helping us focus on the glory of God when we gather to worship, so thank you. One of my favorite observations ever came from the mouth of a comedian. He said, you know, when I'm walking down the street, people hand me flyers. And he's talking about flyers like for a business, flyers for an event, something like that. And he said, when they hand me these flyers, it's like they're saying, here, you throw this away. Okay, well, I thought it was funnier than y'all did. That's fine. You know, you think about it, when someone hands you something like that, that's probably how you feel. Because that flyer has no value to you. You know, it doesn't mean anything to you. It's not worth anything to you. My family was in Las Vegas one time, and we were with my grandparents. My grandfather, at the time, he must have been 80 years old or close to it. He was definitely past the age where you look at him and think, oh, I bet that guy stays out late. You know, he was older. And so we were walking down the street in Las Vegas, and someone hands him a flyer. It was a flyer for a nightclub that opened at 10 o'clock at night. Hand it to my 80-year-old grandfather. And so we walk a little farther, and then my dad's like, hey, what was that about? To which my grandfather responded, I think they wanted me to come dance with them. Now, needless to say, he threw that flyer away because it had no value to him. You know, it wasn't worth anything to him. It wasn't useful to him. We are currently in a study of the book of Ecclesiastes that we are calling Searching for Purpose. And the book of Ecclesiastes talks a lot about wisdom. And when it talks about wisdom, it's pretty much talking about knowledge of how the world works, how things work in the world. That's what it means by wisdom in Ecclesiastes. And the Bible talks a lot about wisdom. It says that you should want wisdom, that you should try to gather wisdom. But there's a question that we need to ask about it. Is there value in wisdom? Like, is wisdom useful to you? Is wisdom something that is worth a value to you? Is there value in wisdom? Well, the answer to that is yes. And so I figure I'd stop there since we have the potluck. Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, of course there is value in wisdom. And so as we study this passage, Ecclesiastes 2, verses 12 through 26, we'll see three ways wisdom has value. Three ways wisdom has value. Let's start with the first way. Wisdom has value because, number one, wisdom helps you see. All of us, I think, want to be the best at something. And you might say, well, I don't want to be the best football player or whatever, but you probably want to be the best at something. Maybe you want to be the best grandparent. You know, you buy more gifts than the other grandparents, so they'll like you more, you know. By the way, today is Grandparents' Day. So happy Grandparents' Day to you grandparents. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you didn't even know that was a thing. Well, it's on the calendar. Take a look. Maybe you want to be the best grandparent. Or maybe you want to be the best gamer, or the best student, or the best dresser, or the best bargain hunter, or the best cook, which I will be the judge of at the potluck in a little bit. And we even have people who want to be the best at eating hot dogs, and they train for it all year to be in that competition on July 4th. We want to be the best at something. Well, Solomon was the best at something. He was the best when it came to wisdom. He was the wisest. This is what 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 says. God gave Solomon wisdom, very great insight, and understanding as vast as the sand on the seashore. He was the wisest man ever. So having all of this wisdom, Solomon puts it to the test. He turns, in his search for purpose, he turns to wisdom to figure out the solution. And here's what he says. Look with me, if you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, or verse 12, rather. Then I turned to consider wisdom, madness and folly. For what will the king's successor be like? He will do what has already been done. And I realize that there is an advantage to wisdom over folly, like the advantage of light over darkness. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I also knew that one fate comes to them both. So when he starts reflecting, when he starts observing, when he starts thinking about wisdom, Solomon says there is an advantage to wisdom over folly. There is an advantage to wisdom over foolishness. And look, you didn't have to get up and come to church this morning to know that, right? You know that wisdom is better than foolishness. That's just common sense. But the way that Solomon describes it is in verse 13. So take a look at it again with me. Verse 13. And I realize that there is an advantage to wisdom over folly, like the advantage of light over darkness. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. He says that wisdom is like light. Wisdom is like having eyes in your head. Well, guess what light helps you do? Helps you see. Guess what eyes help you do? Help you know when there are allergens in the air. That's right. No, it helps you see. And what Solomon is saying is that's what wisdom is like. It helps you see. Now imagine you're driving down Highway 20 and it's late at night. It's dark outside. You're driving between here and Niceville. And you know it's that time of year where the deer start to come out. And so you can see their glowing eyes on the side of the road munching on that grass. Well, every once in a while, one of those deer gets really ambitious and says, hey, the grass over on the other side looks a lot better, and it bolts across the road. So there you are, cruising down Highway 20, singing along to your favorite music like you're trying out for The Voice, when all of a sudden, little Bambi comes trotting across the road. Now, let me ask you, in this situation, is it better to have your headlights on or off? Not a trick question. It's better to have your headlights on, right? Because if you have your headlights on, you can see what's coming. If you have your headlights on, you can see what's ahead. If you have your headlights on, you can see that deer running across the road. But if they're off, well, you're about to meet your insurance adjuster, someone you do not want to meet. And I know there's someone in here who's going, well, actually, Sean, it's not the worst thing if the headlights are off, because you hit that deer, you've got dinner for like 2 months on that meat. Okay, but I think everybody else would say it's better to have your headlights on in that situation, because headlights help you see. Well, that's what wisdom is like, Solomon says. Wisdom helps you see. And if you just think about your life, you know that's true. You have lived this. Wisdom helps you see that eating those leftovers of that food that you love but that's been sitting in there for like 3 weeks, well, that's probably not a good idea. Wisdom helps you see that. Wisdom helps you see that trusting that person who has lied to you again and again is going to leave you burned. Wisdom helps you see that putting money into that scheme that promises to make you rich by the end of the month is going to leave you poor. Wisdom helps you see that thinking you can quickly scroll social media, you know, and you're not going to waste 2 hours on it, well, that's a trap. Wisdom helps you see that believing you don't need to study for the exam because you'll wing it will leave you failing. Wisdom helps you see that buying something you can't afford because I deserve it is going to leave you chained to debt. Wisdom helps you see that believing gossip instead of trying to find out the truth will damage relationships. If you have wisdom, you can see these things. That's part of the value of wisdom. Wisdom helps you see. It helps you see the potholes before you fall in. There are experiences in your life that you look back on and you think, if I just would have been more wise, I wouldn't have gone through that. It's because wisdom helps you see. So that's the first way that it has value. There's a second way that it has value. It's number two, wisdom gives you perspective. Wisdom gives you perspective. I think all of us in here know there is a good way to live and a bad way to live. There's a smart way to live. There is a dumb way to live. There's a wise way to live, and there's a foolish way to live. And so we try to be wise. We try to make good decisions. We try to understand how life works. And here's what we think. If I'm wise, then I'll make the best financial decisions and I'll end up rich. Or if I'm wise, I will buy the right mattress and never have back pain again. I just bought one. That is a lie. We think, if I am wise, then I will manage my time well and I'll never feel stressed or rushed again. If I am wise, then I will handle my relationships perfectly and I'll always feel deeply connected. If I am wise, then I will always pick the right line at Publix so I don't get stuck behind the person who's trying to sort through their coupons. And we think that if we are wise, that it'll give us the life we long for. We think wisdom's going to deliver that to us. And true, wisdom does help with things. It helps you see. It helps you make better decisions. But Solomon says that's not the whole story. Look what he wrote in Ecclesiastes 2, starting in verse 15. So I said to myself, what happens to the fool will also happen to me. Why then have I been overly wise? And I said to myself that this also is futile. For just like the fool, there is no lasting remembrance of the wise, since in the days to come, both will be forgotten. How is it that the wise person dies just like the fool? Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For everything is futile in the pursuit of the wind. King Solomon says, I have been wise in my life, but guess what? I'm still going to die. He's right. Wisdom, as great as it is, can't stop death. The wise and the fool both end up in the same graveyard. Wisdom can't save you from that. And yes, the fool will end up there sooner because they eat Tide Pods and participate in hot dog eating competitions and stuff like that. But everyone will die. Wisdom can help you live better, but wisdom cannot help you live forever. Can help you live better, but it can't help you live forever. So here's the thing. Wisdom is not the solution. Wisdom won't give you the life that you long for. But wisdom does give you something. It gives you perspective. Because if you have wisdom, then you start to understand how life works, and eventually you will start to think about how life ends. You'll start to think about death. And believe it or not, that is a gift, because it changes the way that you view life. Wisdom gives you perspective. One of our kids was probably a year and a half old when we went on this trip, and we were in the car for 6.5 hours, which, I mean, to a kid that age, he might as well have been locked up in this steel prison for 20 light years. You know, he could not take it. So when we finally got to a restaurant and we sat down to eat, he stood straight up. You know, why sit down when I've been sitting down for 6.5 hours, he thought. And he was absolutely restless. So I was like, all right, you know what, I'll deal with him. I pick him up, I take him out of the restaurant. And we weren't really familiar with this place, so I start looking around. There's a really nice building across the street. It looks like a business office or something like that. So I walk him over there, and behind that office, there happened to be a nice field of grass. And I thought, okay, this is perfect. He'll love this. I set him down in the grass, and he just starts running around like the Tasmanian devil. You know, he is just going at it. I'm like, all right, hey, this is great. So I walk back over to the restaurant to eat my meat. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that far. Just seeing if you're listening. No, he's running around just having fun like a little kid does. And then I notice that he is running straight in this one direction to the far edge of the field. And when I say edge, I don't mean like it's grass and then there's like pine straw and a little bit of slope with a bunch of flowers and it looks great. I mean it was grass, concrete, nothing. Like absolutely nothing after that. And so he's just going, hey, this is great, you know, running straight toward it. And really, who needs a child's playground when you have a place like this that is so much fun? So he is running like Forrest Gump, straight toward this edge, straight towards this cliff. It is a 10-foot drop. And at the bottom, it's just a bunch of those big rocks that they put, you know, to keep the landscape or whatever. He is running straight toward it. And so I yell out in my deepest, most authoritative dad voice, "Stop right there!" And he freezes. He slowly turns around. When he looks at me, he has this look of pure terror on his face. So I walk over to him, I scoop him up, and I walk him to the edge of this cliff. And I let him look down and see that it's a 10-foot drop and that there are all these rocks at the bottom that he would fall on and how painful it might be if he did. He sees it, his eyes get big, he gasps, and he just points the other direction like, "Okay, that's not the playground I thought it was. Let's go that way." And so I walk a few yards back into the grass, I put him down, and as soon as I put him down, he starts running again. Guess which direction? You thought I was going to say back that way towards the cliff again. No, he didn't run toward the cliff again. He ran the opposite direction. You know why? Because he saw where this path ended. He saw what was over there. He saw that it was this cliff with a massive drop. When I showed him what was over there, it startled him. When I showed him, he realized, okay, this is not a playground full of Skittles and puppies like I was hoping it was. This is something horrible. And because he saw that, because he saw the end of the path, it changed the way that he played in the field. And that's because he had perspective. Solomon says, that's what wisdom does. Wisdom doesn't just help you dodge potholes in the road. Wisdom shows you the cliff at the end of the road. And that cliff is death. The wise man and the fool will both end up in the grave. That's sobering. It wakes us up, but it's a gift. Because once you see that, you don't live the same way anymore. You don't waste your life chasing everything under the sun because you know where that ends. Wisdom gives you perspective. And if you have that perspective, then you view things differently. If you have that perspective, you treat things differently. If you have that perspective, you live differently. See, if you have perspective, then you stop letting your career own you because you know your job title won't be on your tombstone. If you have perspective, then you say, "I love you and I forgive you now," because you know you're not promised tomorrow. If you have perspective, then you are generous with your money because you know you can't take your savings into the grave. If you have perspective, you quit putting off faithfulness till tomorrow because tomorrow might not be there. If you have perspective, you don't waste your best energy just scrolling. Instead, you spend it on what matters most. If you have perspective, you make time with God a priority because He is the only one that you will face when life is over. That's what perspective does. Wisdom can help you dodge potholes, but it can't help you dodge the grave. You will die. That's what it shows you. And that gives you perspective. So that's the second way that it has value. Wisdom gives you perspective. And then there is a third way that it has value. It's number three. Wisdom leads you to worship. The older I get, the more I appreciate the view of people who are older than me. For instance, Pastor Jeff is just a couple years older than me, but he has way more wisdom than me. And so when we sit down to talk about something, sit down to figure something out, his words are gold. He just has one insight after another. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, like I do at the Olive Garden with the waiter who is bringing the breadsticks. I'm like, okay, just keep it coming, you know? He is so wise. He has this perspective, this view on things because of all of the experiences that he has had in his life. Well, Solomon is actually an old man when he's writing this. He has lived a lot of life. He's had a lot of experiences. And looking back, this is what he says. If you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18. I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun, because I must leave it to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. This too is futile. So I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work that I had labored at under the sun. When there is a person whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he must give his portion to a person who has not worked for it, this too is futile and a great wrong. For what does a person get with all his work and all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief, and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is futile. Now Solomon, the guy who wrote this, he is someone who has accomplished more than most of us could ever dream of. And he seems to have it all. He has power and palaces and projects and wealth and wisdom. He was the type of guy that got done more before breakfast than we get done in a few weeks. That's who he was. And yet what he says is all of this, all that I have done, all the work that I have put in, none of it gave me the purpose or the fulfillment that I was searching for. It's empty, it's meaningless, it's futile, it's like chasing the wind. And if you have read the first couple chapters of Ecclesiastes, or if you have been here as we've taught through this, that's pretty on brand for Solomon. Yeah, he's kind of, if we can be honest, been pretty negative, has a gloomy outlook on everything. He's not really happy-clappy here. But then, it's like he pivots. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand, because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? For to the person who is pleasing in his sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. This is really big. This is a huge part of the book. Because Solomon, when he talks about there's nothing better to eat, drink, and enjoy your work, he's not just saying, hey, grab a Big Mac and a milkshake and punch your time card and, you know, we're good. Even though the milkshake to a lot of us, hey, that sounds pretty good. But that's not what he's getting at. He's saying the simple things of life, food, drink, work, the simple things are gifts from the hand of God. Now, most of this book is written from an under-the-sun perspective, a human perspective. It's a guy trying to figure out life by himself. But just for a second, we get an above-the-sun view. We get a heavenly view of things. And though he's kind of been a downer so far, he gets a little happy, a little upbeat for a second. It's like he's saying, yeah, I know the world is messed up in so many ways. I know that a lot of things are meaningless. But wait a minute, I have things that I enjoy in life, and those are given to me from the hand of God. Look how good he is. Look how kind he is. Look how amazing he is. In his wisdom, he recognizes that God is in control, that God is working in the world, that God has given him what he has. You see, his wisdom has led him to worship. And that principle that wisdom leads to worship really does make sense if you think about it. Let me just think about wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Where is wisdom found? Who holds perfect wisdom? Who created perfect wisdom? Who gives wisdom to people? It's God. So if you follow wisdom all the way, it's going to lead to God. And when you get to God, and you see his power, his holiness, his kindness, his love, you will worship him. Wisdom leads to worship. We all like getting presents, don't we? Now, I know if you're not a kid, you don't get that excited, at least publicly about it, but you like getting presents. Well, my wife loves making a big deal of our kids' birthdays. And so what she will do is she'll get these presents and then she'll decorate our kitchen. She'll put banners and confetti and balloons. And the centerpiece of all of this is the table where there is this stack of presents perfectly organized so that when the kid sees it, like, they absolutely lose their minds over it. All right. Now, what will happen is the kid whose birthday it is will be upstairs. And when it's time, I'll walk up there and I'll say, "All right, close your eyes." And I will gently guide them down the stairs. Now, I'm happy to say only two of them have fallen down the stairs this year when we were doing this. The third one's birthday is next month. We'll see how it goes. But no, I'm just joking. Now, well, I guide them down the stairs. And when they get to the bottom, I say, "Open your eyes." When they open their eyes, they see their gifts. They just light up. They are full of joy. They are overflowing with excitement. Now, when it comes to the presents, I don't make them. I don't wrap them. I don't choose them. I don't put them where they are. I have nothing to do. In fact, when it comes to the presents, I am as useful as a screen door on a submarine. There's nothing that I add to that. But my job is simply to lead my kids down to where they can see these things. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom has value, but it's not your source of joy. It has value because it leads to worship. It's like wisdom takes you by the shoulder, guides you down so that you can see the gifts that God has given you in your life. And that would then lead your heart to worship God for who He is and what He does. But the point isn't the guide. The point is what it's leading to. Wisdom helps you get to the place where you see how great God is, how He is in control of everything, how He has blessed you in so many different ways. And that leads you to worship. So this week I challenge you, have wisdom in how you look at things. And let that wisdom lead you to worship. When you sit down for dinner, don't just see a pile of food. No, see a gift from God's hand and worship Him for it. When you clock in at work tomorrow, don't just see a job that you have to survive. See a calling on your life and worship God for it. When you get that paycheck, don't just see the numbers on the screen or that piece of paper. See His provision in your life and worship God for it. When you hear those kids laughing, don't just think, "Oh, that's cute." No, say, "God, thank you for this," and worship Him for it. When you sip that cup of coffee in the morning, don't just see a bunch of caffeine. See the kindness of God present there in a cup. Unless it's instant coffee. That stuff is absolute trash. But see God's kindness to you in that gift and worship Him for it. And when you see a sunset, don't just take a picture of it for Instagram. Instead say, "God, You made this and it is amazing," and worship Him for it. Wisdom shows how all these little things are gifts from God, and it leads you to worship Him. Wisdom leads you to worship. That's the third and final way that it has value that we're going to see today anyway. So let's circle back to that question we started with. Is there value in wisdom? Yes. Wisdom helps you see. Wisdom gives you perspective, and wisdom leads you to worship. But listen to me. Wisdom is not your savior. Wisdom is not going to give you the life that you long for. It's not going to give you the purpose that you are searching for. We've been talking about wisdom, the thing that you can get, the knowledge of how the world works. But the greatest value of wisdom, the thing, is that it points you to wisdom, the person. The greatest value of wisdom, the thing, is that it points you to wisdom, the person. And you might go, "Sean, what on earth is that supposed to mean?" Well, let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "It is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." You hear that? Jesus is God's wisdom for us. He is wisdom embodied. All of the wisdom that you can have in this world, all of the wisdom that shows you how things work, all of that wisdom is meant to point you to Jesus, our true wisdom. It is through him that we really see what life is all about. It is through him that we have a perspective of life and death. It is through him that we worship God. So is there value in wisdom? Yes, its greatest value is that it points you to Jesus. Because wisdom says, look at the road. Jesus says, I am the way. Wisdom says, death is coming. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Wisdom says, see the gifts. Jesus says, I am the gift. I am your salvation. So have wisdom, but listen, don't stop short. Don't make wisdom the destination. Don't just try to get wisdom so that your life would be better or more comfortable or more enjoyable. Let wisdom do all its work and point you to Jesus, the wisdom of God. Friend, maybe you're here today and you have been chasing wisdom just like King Solomon did. You're trying to figure out what life is all about. You're trying to live smart. You're trying to make sense of everything. But you've never trusted Jesus. Well, listen to me. Wisdom has led you right here. Wisdom has led you to Jesus. So don't stop short this morning. Trust him today. Turn from your life of sin. Turn from being selfish and turn to Christ. You see, Jesus died for the foolish like me and you. Jesus died to pay for the sins that we have committed against God, the sins that we could do nothing to pay for ourselves. Jesus died for fools like us. But if we trust in him, our sins are forgiven, and we know true wisdom in Jesus. So today, if you have never trusted in him, this is your moment. Put aside your excuses and trust him now. Maybe you have questions about that. Maybe you want to talk to someone about that. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. And after everybody leaves here today, as they're going out, I'm going to be standing right down here waiting for you. Come. But do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and knowing true wisdom. Christian, I hope that you are growing in wisdom. I hope that you are living in wisdom. But don't stop short. Let that wisdom point you to Jesus. And so we are going to respond by worshiping Jesus together. And as we sing, maybe you need to respond in a very specific way. Maybe you need to admit to God that you haven't been living in wisdom. You have been trying to figure out life yourself instead of by the wisdom that God, the Holy Spirit, gives you. Well, admit that to God this morning and beg him for help to change. Or maybe this morning you need to ask God for wisdom in a certain area of your life. Maybe it's work, maybe it's finances, relationships, maybe it's school, maybe it's suffering. You need to come to God and ask him to give you wisdom so that you would honor him in that part of your life. Or maybe you need to confess that you've been seeking wisdom just so that your life would be easier or so that you would be more successful. The truth is, you've been chasing wisdom for selfish reasons. Well, admit that to God this morning and ask him to give you the wisdom that points you to Jesus. So as we sing this last song, maybe you just need to take a minute and talk to the Lord. You can do it sitting where you are. You can do it standing where you are. You can do it kneeling where you are. You can do it kneeling up here. But talk to the Lord this morning. We're going to respond as the Holy Spirit leads us. So let's pray and worship Jesus together. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you that you have given us wisdom in Jesus. Thank you that we know wisdom because we know Jesus. I pray, Lord, that as we seek to live lives that honor you, that we would focus on Jesus. as we seek to live wisely in this world, that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus alone, and that we would worship you for who you are and what you do. Let us not just be content.